Father, we do thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to be here that we can open up your word, Lord, and we do look forward, God, to what you're going to teach us. And Lord, I just think of this chapter as just a great, great chapter and a challenge for us. And I pray that, God, as we hear tonight, we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but we'd be doers. And Lord, this would spark a fire in some of us, Lord, about what we're thinking about your direction for our own lives. So bless this time, God, and just pour out your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, the thing I like about Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, is number one, it's kind of one of those sensitive areas in Christianity. It's about the call of God on our life. And I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. I think way too often we make it way too difficult. And we feel like we can't hear what God wants us to do. And I think sometimes we can't hear because we really don't want to hear. Because I think a lot of us are a little bit afraid, and you know, maybe this is speaking about me, but I know at times we're afraid that if we hear him, then we're going to be responsible to do what he's told us to do, and that's a scary thing. And so we kind of block it out, and we go, I can't really hear, I can't discern God's will for my life, I can't really figure it out, and if I could just get one more book. Well, there's a plethora of books. You can read 100,000 books, but listen, here's what you really need to do. Listen to him. Listen carefully. See, sometimes I think we get so busy and it gets so noisy that we can't hear. And I think even in a situation like this tonight, sometimes it's so noisy we can't hear what's going on. Not that it's noisy in here, it's noisy in here. And there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, and especially if you're like me. Man, my mind goes like 500 miles an hour, you know, and sometimes even as I'm teaching, I'm thinking, oh no, where was I? And my mind is like doing stuff. So I kind of get being busy, and especially probably if you have ADD or any of those D diseases, you know, that you're just going all the time. And it's hard to pay attention. It's hard to figure it out. But I honestly believe hearing God and knowing God's will for our life is not that complicated. And it's not real difficult. And again, I think we make it difficult. And some of us for the reason we want to avoid it. And some of us, we're just afraid. Here's the last thing. A lot of us, here's what we're afraid. If I think I hear God and I go in a direction and it's the wrong direction, that's it. I'm done for. Because I went the wrong way. Listen carefully. That's not the God we serve. You think he's really going to hang you out to dry and go, sorry, man, I wanted you over here, but you went over there, so just stay there. That's not the God of the Bible. And we're going to hear some cool stuff, I think, tonight, talking about Samuel and what goes on in his life. And also, this is a transition time for the nation of Israel, so kind of keep that in mind. Israel's transitioning, in a sad way, from being a theocracy and ruled by God, and they're transitioning into this monarchy and being ruled by a man, which, you know, is not a good direction for them to go. So in verse 1, as we're looking at this, in verse 1 it says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. Now verse 1 says a whole bunch of what's going on. And again, we know we're just coming out of the period of Judges where everyone was doing right and what was right in their own eyes. Kind of a funky, funky time for Israel. But a couple of things to notice as we begin this. Number one, it says the boy Samuel. Most of us, we hear that term and we think boy, right? He's probably maybe 15 years old by now. So he's not like this little bitty guy, you know, that remember mom left him and mom was bringing him something every year. It's been a few years. I would say he's probably a teenager. Some people say preteen, but he's in that place. And then the second thing we need to notice is he's ministering to the Lord, not for the Lord. You see, if you want to hear the Lord, here's what you got to do. You got to figure out, how do I minister to God? And listen, that doesn't mean that you're going to fix God. That means you're getting close to God. You're listening to God. You're paying attention to what God is saying. And, you know, to me, the most direct way for you and I to do that today is you need to be in His Word. You alone need to be in His Word, not in a setting like this. Of course we're in His Word and reading, but you need to be that quiet time where you're alone with God and you're hearing from Him and you're ministering to Him. And He's speaking to your heart. And, you know, again, I think our prayer time where we're having a conversation with God. People sometimes make prayer so complicated. I was listening to one of the pastor's perspectives and someone's calling in. How do you really pray to God? And I love what I think it was Pastor Brian Brodesson said. He goes, you talk to Him. Do you know that's what prayer is? Some of us think it has to be so special and we have to be so perfect. And if we say something wrong, it's going to be bad. Just talk to God. Just have a conversation with Him. Just open up your mouth and start like you talk to anybody. I haven't heard of a time when, no, I'm not going to tell you that story, but it's not good. So anyway, but talk to God. So listen, he's ministering to the Lord and he's before Eli. Here's something that I think is extremely interesting. Is Samuel, we're going to see it again later on and all through this chapter, to pay attention to. Samuel is serving under Eli. Eli is a turkey of turkeys. He didn't raise his kids right. He's kind of a funky old guy now. But I want you to pay attention to the fact that Samuel is under him. And Samuel is serving under him. He's not trying to usurp Eli's authority. He's not trying to take over for Eli. I think this is extremely important, especially for some younger people. And I think in our, you know, the younger generation today, and I know that means you're officially old when you start saying the younger generation of today. But one of the things I see is when people, younger people, they want on top right away. They want to start out as the CEO and work their way down, I guess. You know, I'm not sure. Listen, that's not how it works. And you got to earn some stuff. You got to go through some stuff. You got to live life. And I know, man, I'm sounding like my dad, and, you know, it scares me. It's like, how did he get in there, and why is he doing these things, and, you know, quote, channeling through me. But you do. Someone got upset with that. Yeah, I know that's a new age term, but it's okay. So listen. Samuel is very careful to, number one, minister to the Lord. Number two, respect. And bottom line, obey Eli. That's a good thing. This is a good kid. You know, again, 15 years old, 16, 17 maybe, and he's in that position. You want to know God's will? Maybe if you just start there with the little things. Read your Bible. Listen to what God's saying in His Word. Pay attention, and then, you know what, be respectful of people. Be respectful of your position and where you're at. So listen, he's doing that. Oh, and then it says, kind of to me, this interesting thing, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Bummer, huh? Do you know, I just found this out, do you know that from the period of Joshua to the period of Samuel, there were only three prophets? Wow. That's several hundred years in the history of Israel, and there are only three prophets. You can look it up in Judges 4 and Judges 6 and 1 Samuel 2. Remember last week we read about the man of God who came and spoke to Eli? We don't know his name. That's all we know is he was a man of God. But in that whole period of time, only three prophets. That's a little bit scary, isn't it? Something's going on when there's only, you know, quote, that many coming. And then it says, and there was no widespread revelation. Again, according to that time, if we look, there's only, quote, five specific revelations given during that time period. The references are up there. They're all during the time of Judges that someone gave a revelation or God gave a revelation. And you know, to me, that's kind of scary because here's what's going on in the nation of Israel. We talk about the 400, quote, silent years between the Testaments. And remember when we studied Daniel, we found out they weren't so silent and they weren't so quiet and they weren't so closed off as we looked at what was going on with Daniel's history. But during this time, there's no one in my mind, here's what I think, there's not very many good churches. Do you know what I'm talking about? You couldn't find a church that was teaching God's Word. And I know there weren't churches. And, you know, don't kind of come up and correct me later on. I get that. But you know what I'm talking about?
the word of God was scarce. And here's what is kind of cool about that, is Samuel was flourishing during that time. So here's what you need to think about. We can use all those excuses, can't we? Well, I would know God's will if I was living during the New Testament time, because that was awesome. No, it wasn't. Read about some of those churches. It wasn't so awesome. Or I could, and we make these, I'm living in this country in 2013. You know what's going on? People hate God. People hate me. People hate what I stand for. How do you expect me to do anything? And we get so focused on those things instead of ministering to the Lord, serving where we're called to serve, being busy about serving Him and serving others, and so we get all sidetracked. So we need to learn, when Samuel's doing this stuff, it wasn't like Samuel was around during, woohoo, this is a great time to be alive. I think when Samuel was alive, personally, was worse than when we're alive now. I think the whole thing that was going on in especially Israel is 10 times worse than what we're experiencing in America. And you might think, you're nuts, man. You must live in a cave. No, I live in the real world. I know what's going on. I even have foxnews.com on my computer. Of course I know what's going on. That was sarcasm. So here's Samuel. And that's the background. So verse 1 kind of gives us the background. He's a young guy. The word of the Lord is scarce. He's ministering to the Lord, not just for the Lord. Not much word going on, not much revelation going on. So that's what's happening. Now listen, then there's one special night. Now think of this young guy, and maybe you're in that place. Man, if God would just... if I could only hear from the Lord. Have you ever said that? If he only, and then here's what we want. Here's what we expect when we say that. He needs to send a DVD that we can play, that we can get the whole thing line. I was there. I remember when I used to go in my backyard in Bisbee and go, God, if you would just show me something. And, you know, looking back now, he's going, dude, I am. Pay attention. But we want stuff. We kind of want it in Technicolor. And here's what else I know from experience. He's not going to show you the whole picture. Ain't no way. Oh, he's going to show you bits, and then you're going to take a step, and then you're going to get a little bit more, and then you're going to take another step, and you're going to get a little bit more. But he's not going to show you the whole thing, because trust me, if he showed you the whole thing, you wouldn't do it. You know, you'd go, no, I don't want that part. You know, and then you try and readjust it, redirect it, and fix it. And God says, no, I want you to walk through it. So here we go. Check this out. That's the setting. And then it says, and it came to pass at the time, and I'm going to read quite a bit and come back because it's one long sentence. And it came to pass at the time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, the Lord called Samuel. So listen, there's a lot of explanation going on, and it gives us when this happened exactly for Samuel that I think is kind of interesting. It doesn't give us a general time. It almost tells us at 4:15 a.m. God showed up. You know, so a couple things he lets us know is that it was a time while Eli, you know, the priest, he's lying down in his place. So get this, it's at nighttime, right? Are you picking up on that? It's at nighttime. And it says then, it says, when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. So it's later on in Eli's life. He's kind of an older guy. And then it tells us, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle. Now, a couple things to think about. Number one, I think the picture that we get of Eli is not just a picture of his physical condition. I think it's also a picture of his spiritual condition. You know, when we think about where he was spiritually and what was going on. So the Lord's given us that picture of him, but also the physical about when it happened. And then it's when he's lying down. So this happened at night. And then it tells us about that the lamp is about to go out. Now, there's some people who translate that and teach that, oh no, the lamp is supposed to, is going out, and it's not supposed to. According to Exodus chapter 27, that lamp is supposed to burn all the time. And people are going, see, Eli was so bad, he was letting a lamp go out. That's maybe what was going on, or is it giving us a time of day? In other words, they would fill the lamp when they're going to bed, and then about the time it's going out would be early, early in the morning when it needs to be filled again. Are you tracking with me? Kind of think that's maybe what he's telling us, just giving us a time of day about the time when the lamp goes out. I think that's what he's talking about. In other words, God shows up at the most unusual times. He doesn't show up when we think he's going to show up. And you know, sometimes he talks to us like early in the morning and he's like nudging us to get out of bed. And we go, are you crazy, man? I don't want to get out of bed, right? Isn't that what some of us think? Okay, thank you. Ryan agrees with me, the rest of you not so much. I've been getting up early almost most of my life, and I still hate to get out of bed early. I'd rather sleep in. I'd rather just stay in, especially when it's cold. How many of you like to get up when it's cold? I'm thinking, I don't want to get up, and the Lord's going, come on, let's meet. And I'm thinking, come in here, let's meet here. I don't want to get up. This is early in the morning, and again, you know, I know, I believe we should have our quiet time first thing in the morning. Now, for some of us, that means 11:30 a.m. And the reason I say that is I think it should happen because if we put it off, we're going to put it off forever. But I'm not one of those people that say, man, if you're not up at 4 a.m. praying, you are so dead spiritually. You know, and here's what else I know. Some of us, we're never going to do our quiet time in the morning. Some of us are going to do it at night. But here's what he's saying. God shows up when the lamp is about to go out, and some people say, Israel's doomed. I don't think that's what it's a picture of. I think he's telling us the time of day. And he's in the ark, you know, in the ark. He's in the tabernacle. He's not in the ark. But he's in the tabernacle. The ark's there. It says where the ark of the Lord is. And Samuel is sleeping. And then it says, and the Lord called to him. So a couple things is, be sensitive to the voice of God. And again, I doubt very many of us, he's going to say, get out of bed now. But I'm talking about times like this. Scott's speaking to you. Start speaking to you directly. You see, sometimes, like I say, we hear, but we don't hear. And we need to be sensitive, and we need to be, number one, willing to hear the voice of the Lord. Something interesting about Samuel. He's willing to hear. So here he is. He's laying there. The Lord shows up, which again, I think is extremely interesting. And so now he's ready, he's wanting, and he's willing to hear from the Lord. And it says in verse 4 again that the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, here I am. But notice how messed up things are. Here's what he does. He says, here I am. Verse 5, so he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. You see? Sometimes it's hard to discern the voice of the Lord, isn't it? Even when it's audible. Because I think it was audible for him. But here's what he's thinking. There's only two people in this place. Me and the old blind guy. Who, by the way, was extremely overweight. But that's another story. And he gets up and he goes, here I am. Isn't that what a lot of us think? Because we're thinking, God would never speak to me. God wouldn't say anything to me. And some of us even have such a, you know, a bad attitude about ourselves. We don't even think he cares about us. So Samuel, he gets up and he goes over to Eli and he goes, here I am. And Eli goes, dude, do you know what time it is? And he said, I did not call you. Go back to bed. Right? Isn't that what he's saying? He says, go lie down again. And he went and lay down. So listen, Eli, is what's wrong with this kid? He runs over and says that. That's the first calling. How many times is God going to call you? How many times is he going to speak to you and give you a chance? Once? Twice? Three times? Four times? 15 times? You see, because I think that's important, because here again, a lot of us feel like, if I miss it, I'm going to miss it. I remember years ago, one of the first times, and this kind of sort of dates me, going to California, and you know, the freeways are there, and there's overpasses and signs. And I remember my mother-in-law was with me, and she goes, "What happens if we miss our exit?" Because I'm so kind and compassionate and loving, I said, "If we miss our exit, that's it. We're doomed for eternity, because we're just going to drive and drive and drive." That's how some of us feel about the call of God in our lives. And I think that's a fear that builds in us, and therefore we don't listen and we don't hear, and we're afraid, and we're afraid to try some things. Because here's what we're afraid of. If I miss it, I miss it. God's not that way. So here he calls Samuel. Now listen, this is kind of a goofy thing. He calls Samuel. Samuel goes to Eli, and the Lord doesn't go, "Dude, I'm over here." Or, "That's it. If you can't discern my voice, that's it. You're cut off." Does he? What does he do? God calls him again. I think, and here's what I think, because of the way I'm built. I think God waited till they just about got asleep again. Because that's what I would do, right? Give him some time. You know how, like in night, you get up and you do something, whatever it is, and then you're almost back asleep and then something happens. Or you're almost back asleep and your alarm goes off and you're going, "What on earth? Why is that going off now? I just got to sleep." So here he is. He lays back down. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. Number two. So Samuel arose and went to Eli, and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now, I think he's being pretty patient. I think the old dude's being patient, don't you? Because he's trying to sleep too. And he goes, "I didn't call you, my son." I'm not sure if that's the vocabulary I would use. Someone's waking me up in the middle of the night going, "Here I am." I go, "What is the matter with you?" So he tells him to lie down. Now God would say, "That's it, man. I called you twice. I gave you two chances." It's not the God of the Bible, is it? So God calls him again. The third time God calls him, "Samuel." And the Lord called again, verse 8, called Samuel again a third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Now they're having a little argument, right? Because Eli's going, "Dude, I did not call you. I'm here now because you did call me." And what is Eli? Eli finally gets it. I kind of like that old guy right now. So Eli, it says, then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Eli's going, "There's only two of us in this room. And this guy keeps hearing voices. Either he's just hearing voices, or the Lord's talking to him." And I like what he does. He says he perceived that the Lord had called the boy. So there is a little bit of spirituality in this old guy, isn't there? There's a little bit of hope as we think about him going on. Therefore, verse 9, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Now again, it's important. So for the fourth time, wow. Do you have that much patience? No, see, and here's the problem. A lot of us don't have that kind of patience, so here's what we think. God would never have that kind of patience with me. Because a lot of our perception about God is based on how we react and what we do, and maybe even how people have treated us. You need to get your perception of God from the Bible. Not from what you feel, not from what you do, not from what somebody has done to you. You need to get it from the Bible. Hey, I know people that have been abused by people in authority, so then they have a hard time with authority. And then they don't understand God's authority. Some people have been abused by their fathers, and then they can't look at God as a father figure. And, you know, that's your perception. You need to understand the fatherhood of God from a biblical perspective. And so here's Samuel. Listen, this is the fourth time. So here's what that tells me. God doesn't give up. You can be as out of touch as you want, and here's what he's going to do. Knock, 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 knock. Knock, 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 knock. knock, 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 knock. I don't know how many times it's going to take. Some of us are real tense. I don't know how long. But he loves us enough to keep going. I, for one, am very glad. You see, in my life, I had kind of planned out my Christian life. Once I got saved and kind of started doing some stuff, and listen, I tried a few things, and I kind of didn't fit here, and, you know, I tried children's ministry because I had loving, kind hands, and so I tried children's ministry, and not too good because I wasn't as loving and kind as I thought I was, and they didn't like duct tape on kids. Parents would come and say, well, our kid's all duct taped up. We're playing a game. I tried prison ministry. I was afraid they'd keep me. Sometimes I looked and said, I belong on that side, you belong on this side. So I tried a bunch of stuff. And then here's what I figured out after doing things, because here's what I know. That when you are busy for God and you're serving Him, not just being busy and serving Him, He's going to narrow it down for you. He's going to get you, and here's one day you're going to go, oh, and we're going to talk about calling in a moment. But I was busy about doing things, and then I had made up my mind that I was going to go live in the mountains of Mexico and minister to the Tarahumara Indians. That's what I was going to do. That was my whole plan. I was trying to figure out how I was going to convince my wife that that was a good plan. To live in a village with no electricity, no water, no. I was trying to figure out now, got to convince her this is from God. So at times I would stand up on our roof and I'd go, this is God. No, I didn't do that. And I was thoroughly convinced, but God had a different plan. And, you know, long story short, I ended up having to go all the way to Guadalajara to hear what He had for me. But here's the thing, I was listening. Because I wanted to hear the voice of the Lord. I wanted to know what God wanted for me. And I think it's important that we do that. Now listen, finally he tells him, listen, finally God calls. I love this last part. Now, verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times. It's kind of interesting the way it's verbalized here. The Lord came and stood. You know, and then it says at other times. I'm not sure. This time it sounds like he's getting pretty serious, right? Sounds like he's like almost right there. And again, we need to think about, you know, this is just speaking anthropomorphically of God. In other words, giving God some human characteristics. I'm not sure, you know, God took on the form of a man and stood there. I think it's giving God some characteristics that we can understand. In other words, God got right there. And then look at what he does this time. It's always interesting scripturally when we look at things. He called us at other times, but it's not as other times, is it? Because this time he says, Samuel, Samuel. When God calls your name twice, you're going to hear it. It's interesting when you go through the scripture and he does things. When he says it twice, they always go, whoa. So if you hear your name twice, pay attention. So this time, listen, Samuel, Samuel, and listen what it says. And Samuel answered and said, speak, for your servant hears. Now here's kind of an interesting thing. Maybe I'm reading too much into it. But there's a deviation. Did you notice what Eli told him to say? Listen to what Eli told him to say. Eli said to him, go lie down when he calls you, and he says, say this, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. It's interesting that Samuel left out Lord, isn't it? I think it's just interesting to me. Eli said, to approach it one way, and I think my point is, I'm trying to make is, it's not about a formula. It's not about what somebody says and you have to do it just right. Because again, I think a lot of us go down that path. I will know God's will if I do boink, 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 boink. He doesn't say, speak, Lord. He just says, speak, for your servant hears. So keep that in mind, because again, I think we try and just figure it out so it's a system. And I don't know about you guys, but God's not a system. He's a person. And he wants a personal relationship with us. Now, this time Samuel hears, he tells the Lord to speak, and it says in verse 11, then the Lord said to Samuel. Now, we're going to go on and read what he said, but here's something I want to really clarify for us. when you hear the call of God, and again, I'm not saying he's going to speak to you audibly, but when you get that figured out and you respond to that, I don't think you can burn out in what you're doing. When I read and listen and talk to people who burn out in ministry, oftentimes they'll talk about a lot of stuff that goes wrong. And I always tell people like this, ministry, no matter where you're at in ministry, is kind of like marriage. It's very hard work. And people go, then why would you do it? Because it's so rewarding. See, having a good marriage is hard work, but it's such a reward. It's worth working for. And the same as you serve the Lord. But here's the thing. When people start saying, this went wrong, or I didn't like this, or I didn't like this, here's the question I want to ask them. Tell me how you were called. Because it goes back to calling. You see, if you know you're where God wants you to be, and again, I think a lot of us can experiment in little ways, and he's gonna change our mind. Like I said, I was going to be a missionary no matter what, and you're going to have to move mountains to change me. And so God said, okay, come to Guadalajara, and I'll talk to you there, and I'll talk to you in Spanish, and you don't even know Spanish, dude, but we're going to figure this out, you and me. And we did. And when you find your calling, here's the thing, I believe, you can never quit. You can get discouraged, you can get beat up, you can get tired, but quitting's not an option because it's your calling. It's where God called you. And we're going to watch Samuel. Samuel's going to go through some hard, hard times, but he doesn't quit. He doesn't resign. He doesn't go to God and go, sorry, I don't want to be a prophet anymore. I'm done. Here's your prophet credentials. I'm through. So think about that as we begin to go down this. So listen, this is the Lord said to Samuel, verse 11, behold, I will do something in Israel which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I read that part and here's what I think. Oh, no. Here's what he's telling them. I'm about to do something that is going to freak every person in Israel out. Okay. Like, I thought this whole thing about serving you, God, was about good news. Do you see what he's saying? You're going to go to Israel and you're going to give them some really bad news. When he's talking about their ears tingling, he's not talking about woohoo tingling. He's talking about oh no tingling. He says, what? And then he gives them a specific word. Check this out. Then he says, verse 12, in that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Okay, thank you, God. I mean, do you just realize what he told him? He's serving Eli, and finally Eli goes, go listen, God's got a word for you. God tells him, I'm going to destroy that man, just like I said back in chapter 2. Now, here's an interesting thing. I don't think Samuel heard what was said in chapter 2. I don't think he was present when the man of God said that. And here's what God is doing. He's confirming what the prophet told Eli through Samuel. So he tells Samuel, here's what I'm going to do. This is what's going to happen. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think it's real fun when God gives you a specific word for a specific person that is really, really horrible news. That's when you want to turn in your prophet card. I want you to go tell this guy, it's going to get really, 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 really bad. And I'm going to do everything I said I was going to do. Everything. Okay, Lord. This is like between me and you, right? You just want to let me know. And thank you. I'll be prepared now, because I think what you're trying to tell me is I'm going to have a ministry. He's not. And I think we're good, God. Thank you. What do you do with that information? How do you handle, by the way, it is interesting, what I'm reading here is there's like There's no hope for Eli. Are you kind of picking up on that? That's Galatians 6. What does Paul tell us in Galatians 6? Be careful. A man reaps what he sows. You see, I think that's so important. Because some of us, we think we can go out and do certain things and it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters. I do believe, listen, I believe as Christians we can repent from our sin. We can confess our sin, repent from our sin. And the Bible's clear, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But sometimes even in that, do you know there's consequences? And it always breaks my heart when I hear parents, you know, say things about their children who are going kind of bonkers, and they'll say something, well, they just got to get it out of their system. Really? Have you noticed kids in third world countries don't have to do that? I was watching the news the other night. This little 12-year-old in Syria carrying a pot of noodles and water to her family so they can eat. Let me tell you something, that 12-year-old girl's never going to go through her wild times. You know, we kind of mess things up, and then it always cracks me up when they go, well, they just have to sow their wild oats. You think you can get strawberries? Hey, if you're sowing oats, you know what you're going to get? Oats. It's what the Bible says. You're going to reap what you sow. So I think as parents we have that responsibility. But then even in our own lives, we have a responsibility to be careful, don't we? Be careful what you read. Be careful what you do. Watch out. Because it's going to start being a part of who you are. It's going to mold you and shape you. So listen, we have that thing and we have this whole thing coming down. Now, here's what I want to ask you. And I think, and I'm really being sincere. If God gave you a word for somebody, would you run and tell them? You know what God told me about you? Some of us would hardly wait, man. God would just almost get done and we'd be running to somebody. You know what God told me to tell you? You know what God said? You know what God showed me? And we want to tell them and we kind of want to tell the world. Hey, woohoo! I got a revelation from God. Let me tell you what it says. Because some of us want to wear that like a badge. You got to love this young guy. Listen, he gets a direct revelation from God about Eli and his family. And then it says, verse 15, so Samuel lay down until morning. Here's what Samuel did. I'm going back to bed. You know why he went back to bed? Because he didn't want to tell Eli. You see, he's not one of those prideful, uppity people. He's brokenhearted. I believe sincerely this kid's brokenhearted. Because here's what he knows. That definitely was from God. And he knows that's not good news. And he knows it's going to happen. And here's what he does, I think, in my mind. Goes back to bed, pulls the covers over his head. I hope morning never comes. Because I got some really bad news. So he goes to bed. Verse 15. Gets up. Opened the doors to the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. So here's what he does. He gets up. Kind of what a lot of us maybe would do. Woohoo, just a normal day. Let's open the doors. Let the people come in. Sweep the floor. Hi, Eli. Go on about things. And so Eli's going, Samuel, you kept me up half the night, dude. So I know something happened, right? Then Eli, verse 16, called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. Now it's interesting, isn't it interesting? Now Eli's calling Samuel just like God called Samuel, isn't it? Isn't that interesting? Samuel, my son. And here's Samuel goes, here I am. Oh, we went through this like three times last night, right? Here I am. And he said, verse 17, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Hey, Sammy. I know you and God had something going on last night. What did he tell you? Oh, nothing, Eli. Wouldn't interest you. Don't we have candles to burn or bread to stack or something in here? Don't we have something we need to be doing? You know, we need to be busy for the Lord. I want to talk to you. Right? Kind of a cool kid, isn't he? He's not uppity. He's not proud that he got, quote, a word from the Lord. He's kind of scared about it. And then look at Eli's not going to let it go. Please, in the middle of verse 17, do not hide it from me. And then he's got to threaten the guy. God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that God said to you. I think Eli knows it was bad news, don't you? So here's what he tells him. Whatever God told you, if you don't tell me, may it come upon you. Oh, dude, you shouldn't have said that. Right? That's kind of not good. So Samuel, like, okay, here you go. You're going to die, your kids are going to die, and you're going to have a horrible, horrible life, and you're not going to have any inheritance to carry on the king or the priesthood. Amen. Right? Your family line's cut off, sir. Verse 18, then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Now look at Eli's response. There's an interesting response, a lot of different attitudes about this. Here's what Eli said. It is the Lord, let him do what seems good to him. Now, listen, is he recognizing that he did this stuff and there's no room for repentance? So is he recognizing, okay, God's going to do it and I'm going to accept what God's going to do? Or is it just simply a resignation of whatever, God's going to do it? It's kind of interesting. I'm not sure. I'm kind of torn. You know, some of the commentary guys, they're like all mad at Eli and they're going, he's just a jerk and he's just still being a jerk. Maybe, but maybe he's saying, God's made it perfectly clear there's no room for repentance. Hasn't God said that? And I would repent. He's thinking about repentance won't do any good. And you know what? God's going to do it. And I think, could he even be saying, and if God does it, it's good? You see, here's what we need to know. Whatever God does is good because God is good. We may not understand it. We may not be able to put it together in our finite minds and in our finite situation. But if God does it, it's good. And so I'm not sure. You know, I'm not going to make a judgment on Eli because part of this is I'm not sure if Eli goes to heaven or not. I'm careful about biblical characters because if they went to heaven and I say something stupid here, then when I get to heaven, they're going to kick me or something. They're going to say, what are you doing trash-talking me from the pulpit for? So I'm a little iffy at times on some of these guys. I'm not sure where he was at with this. And, you know, you can say, hey, he was just being a dumb guy. Hey, whatever's going to happen. Or maybe he's being really serious. Maybe he did know, I'm not going to change God. So he's going to do it. It's going to be good. Then, listen, that's settled. Then comes one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Verse 19. I love verse 19. So Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. I like that part. Don't read on yet. Isn't that great? He's growing. Some of you are reading. Stop it. Like, you guys are super rebellious, you know? It's like, don't read on.
I'll read on if I want to. You're not going to tell me not to read on. Do what I want. Who do you think you are?
Don't you just love the sound of that? Isn't that just good? And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him. You know why that's so good? Because of the influence in his life, where he's at. Do you know where he's at? You guys are going, duh, we just read, Pat. He's at the tabernacle. You know who's in the tabernacle? Eli. And his two sons. Do you know what his two sons do? They steal from people. They have orgies at the gate. They're doing all kinds of horrible things. And here's Eli. And what does Eli do? Listen carefully because I think this is so important. He doesn't let that influence him. He doesn't let that direct his life. What does it say? He grew and the Lord was with him. Quit blaming what goes on in your life on your circumstances. You can be close to the Lord no matter what your circumstances are. Don't give me, well, if you were where I was, you know, if I could just work at the church, it would be great. Let me tell you something. We're a bunch of jerks at the church. You don't want to work with us. You know why? Because we're sinners just like everybody else. Everybody goes, if I could just do that, if I could just hang out with those people, I'd be so holy. If you're not holy now, you're not going to be holy when you're around us. You'll probably be less holy. It's important to understand because we always, well, if this was different, if only this was different, if only I didn't have Phinehas and Hophni and that old blind dude, I'd be fine. He grew and the Lord was with him. Why? Because he made it a priority in his life. Then this is my favorite part. Check this out. It says that, and the end of verse 19, the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Oh, I just read that and I just go, how good is that? Like, I think a lot of my words fall to the ground. I think something I just said like 5 minutes ago, well, 2.5 minutes ago, fell to the ground. Don't you want to be someone where your words don't fall to the ground? God directs your words. God gives you your words. And I look at this guy and I think, man, this Samuel is awesome. Oh, by the way, he's a teenager in a horrible situation. But he's awesome. None of his words fell to the ground. You see, he was careful with what he said. He was specific about what he said. And I just read that and I go, I want to be like Daniel. And then check out his life. Listen what's going on. Because I think a lot of us read the end of this and we don't get it. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. You know, as I read 19, 20, and 21, here's what I get out of that. Samuel was faithful with that one little thing. Here's what God told him. He says, here's what's going to happen. What I'm about to tell you is going to freak everybody out, but especially it's going to freak out Eli and the two boys. And what did Samuel do with what he got? He was faithful, wasn't he? He told Eli exactly what was told to him. So what did God do? Gave him more revelation and more revelation and more revelation. Hey, you want to get close to God? Then take care of what God has given you now. Some of us go, I don't know that much. Well, take what you know and do something with it. And some of us go, well, you know what? I would do something, but I want to read all of the Bible first 16 times before I serve the Lord. Or if I only knew, why don't you just go with what you're given? And God is going to give you more. He who is faithful with little things, isn't that what Jesus said? He who's faithful in little things will be given much. Hey, take what you have. I don't care how much it is. Be faithful with it. I look at Samuel, man. Samuel's going to have a phenomenal ministry. Oh, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get nasty because that's ministry. Start serving the Lord. It's not all like, woo-hoo, we're on an uphill thing. And we're going, woo. Sometimes it's like so down in the ditches and dirty and hard. But it's worth it. So as we close tonight, I want us to think about calling. Now here's what I want to do for you guys, because you guys are Thursday night, so you're here, you're serious. I want you to make a little covenant with the Lord that you will quit making excuses about calling. And I mean His calling to you. Stop making excuses. Start listening. Tell Him tonight, I'm going to start listening and I'm going to quit making excuses. Hey, and listen, some of you are going, okay, and I'm going to call you tomorrow if this doesn't work. Because you're like me, very impatient. Quit making excuses. Start listening. That's all you have to do. Oh, wait, one more thing. Get busy serving Him. find a place. If you have loving, kind hands, we can use you in the children's ministry. Pastor Joe's given me like $50 to push this thing, so just so you know. Start serving. Start going in a direction. We all know the saying, right? It's easier to steer a moving vehicle than one that's standing still, or a moving boat, whatever cliche you want to put in there. But that's true. Start going in a direction. If God is not calling you in a direction you're going, here's what he's going to do. That's it. I'm done with you. Sorry. He forgets you. No, he's going to say, okay, that's not working. And he'll re-steer you. And he'll pull you over here. And then you might go like way over here. And no, I don't want you quite over there. And he'll pull you back here. And then you kind of go. He goes, no, a little bit. And then pretty soon, you know what? You're going to be right where God has called you. And when you find your calling, be sure of your calling. And then go as hard as you can until Jesus comes back. See, that's what he's called us to do. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you for the example here that we have of Samuel, Lord. And God, just kind of what a cool guy, Lord, as we think about this young guy. God, I think of my own life, where I was at 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. And God, I thank you that we have an example here of a young person whose life is completely committed to you. And Lord, I pray for young people in here tonight that they would listen to that. And God, that they would make that covenant with you. I pray for young adults to make that. I pray for middle-aged. I pray for all of us, no matter our age, that we would make sure that we're listening to you. And God, that as we grow sometimes impatient, I pray that you would give us the patience that we need. Well, just like Samuel went and laid down each time, went and laid down. That God, we would know and understand we're not going to miss it. Not going to go through, quote, the red light and all of a sudden everything's gone. But we would know that you love us enough that you are going to guide us and direct us. And God, that if we listen, you will put us right where you want us. And we thank you for that. And I thank you again for the example of Samuel, who he is and what he did. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.